p.m. in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Erdine Batzorek. Chedoris is set to open an emergency building to offer permanent residence to vulnerable women in Montreal. In an effort to reduce the amount of women on the streets, the women's shelter is preparing to open 26-unit apartments. The project is set to launch in 2020. According to The Link, Chedoris was able to acquire a new building for the project back in November after retired Montreal businessman Andrew Harper donated $1 million to the organization. In an interview with The Link, the director of Chedoris, Marina Boulous-Winton, said, quote, "Women organizations are less supported," end quote. She added, "The city of Montreal has 900 beds for homeless men compared to the 7,200 for homeless women." Nunavut has recently launched a program that aims to address and prevent sexual abuse of children. According to CBC Indigenous, Our Children, Our Responsibility is a workshop designed by residents and stakeholders in Nunavut to educate adults on what to do if a child discloses sexual abuse, how to recognize the signs, and how to prevent abuse. Participants of the program shared their stories as well as learning new skills on how to tackle sexual abuse. Quote, "When I was growing up, there was no resources, no help, and I kept silent. We have to protect our children," end quote, said Diana Summertook, a participant of the program. Our Children, Our Responsibility is part of Nunavut's National Prevention Strategy Action Plan. It was developed by Embrace Life Council, and it took nearly 3 years to design the workshops. That was the sound of the haka tribute performed by a biker gang in New Zealand. The outpouring support continues as the Muslim community in New Zealand reels from the loss due to a terrorist attack on two mosques. According to CTV News, various groups around New Zealand are paying tribute to the 50 victims of Christchurch by performing the traditional haka dance. One instance is the performance by Black Power, a prominent biker gang in the country. Crowds surrounded the members with candles lit as they mourned the victims from Friday's attack. The haka is a ceremonial dance in the Maori culture, often performed at celebrations, sports events, and occasionally during funerals. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Two-door coupe, hopping out like Jack in the Box, nigga, I'm gonna shoot. If this 30's all that I got, nigga, time's up. Got my coins up, my bars up. Soon we find them, we gon' slide them, we lined them, straight reclined them. Pistol grip, I got them kinds of. I'm not your driver. Shot gon' hit him, he won't answer. I'm blowing ganja. So much work, they call me old school. I remind ya, that bitch you think you got is not you. Where you find her? She a kickstand, a big fan. I get behind her. Then I slid it in, I went.
I mean, that's bitch shit. Faking like you got it in your pockets. Yeah, that's bitch shit. Talking to them hoes, you steady gossip. Yeah, that's bitch shit. Telling on your men so you can scram. Yeah, that's bitch shit. Pull it out and acting like you jam. Yeah, that's bitch shit. Hating on another nigga, come up. Yeah, that's bitch shit. Staying in because you know it's summer. Yeah, that's bitch shit. You a bitch boy, you're my mama.
Okay, let's get it. Bitch, let's get it. Hey. Got a plan, we gon' kill this man. The gun won't jam, it's on sight. I might get life, that's on my life. The popo bite, the gon' green light. I build that price, I build up nice. The guy won't die. Okay, let's get it. Bitch, let's get it. Woo. See no flaws in my purest form. Bitch, I'm greedy. Call your tax, filled with hella cash. Get my gimme back. See those ass, we don't do no class. Nigga, not subtract. Two off coupe, hopping out like Jack in the Box. Nigga, I'm gon' shoot. If this 30's all that I got, nigga, y'all on mute. Ain't no back talk on my block, nigga. Num num juice to the head, fuck up the ops, nigga. Two door coupe, hopping out like Jack in the Box, nigga. I'm gon' shoot. If this 30's all that I got, nigga, y'all on mute. Ain't no back talk on my block, nigga. Num num juice.
is golden. Everything is golden. No, yeah. Everything is frozen. Everything is frozen. Everything is frozen. Ice, yeah. Everything is ice cold. Everything is ice cold. Everything is ice cold. No, yeah. Everything is golden. Everything is golden. Everything is golden. No, yeah. I got the Midas touch. Yep. Everything I do turn to gold with the slightest touch. Yeah, I got the Midas touch. I got the touch.
I've never been afraid of being lonely. If you didn't know me before LA, you'll never know me.
Yeah.
Hollywood changed
to my persona. Yeah.
Hollywood's made
me so much colder.
If you don't know that you're the shit, then it'll
show.
If you don't know just who you are, you'll never
glow.
If you don't ever take no risk, you'll never
grow. Yeah, I got
ice up on my wrist, that's just for
show. Everything I do turn to gold with the slightest touch. Yeah, I got the
Midas,
yeah,
touch.
I got the, yeah,
Midas,
I got the Midas touch.
Styrofoam liquid gold, yeah,
I love to pour it.
Everything in moderation, so
this money I'm folding. Yeah, and I'm rolling, on a rolling. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to CJLO 1690's Trappin' in Traffic. It's been a long while. My name is Jacob Carey. I'm joined by my co-host, Louis Pavlakos.
What up, what up?
And we have a special guest, Mr. Wavy. How you doing?
What's up, what's up? Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you very much for coming.
So we got quite a bit that came out over the last few weeks that unfortunately Mr. Carey over here wasn't here to enjoy. So while you guys mostly got my opinion, we're going to have a little roundtable and talk about everything that's come out within the last month or so. So what have you guys been feeling lately?
You want to have this one, Wavy?
Yeah, let's do it. I think a real surprise in terms of best hip-hop album of the year so far might actually be 2 Chainz.
Absolutely.
I feel like there may have actually been better albums in terms of quality. I think Boogie, who's on Shady, might have put out a more cohesive body of work, but 2 Chainz really felt like a full meal. You're really getting all of him, and I think that this is his most calculated body of work to date.
Yeah, I really liked it too. There was some, like, the first 4 tracks, I mean, it was like Statute of Limitations. I don't remember them all by name, but yeah, he was really in his bag on this one. And I don't know if it eclipses Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, because even that one was so fire. But yeah, he really released like solid body of work there. Even the features was like, they were
high
all working.
Versace, oof, what a track, man. With Thug.
Well, I feel like he's the type of artist that keeps on getting better with every project also. Like,
Absolutely. Even
if maybe Based on a True Story 1 had more anthems or better songs than the second did, like, his technical abilities are getting stronger on everybody.
Man, this guy's actually steady been releasing like good stuff.
Yeah, every project has been better than the other one, and he's just getting more and more like in his bag every time. And I think that was evident in Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, because that came out and that felt like his most cohesive body of work, and now he's just continuing that on this run.
Well, I think the thing with this one also is he seems to be a bit more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2 Chainz always had a funny side, but the songs this time around are, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what else? And on that same day, I know he also had that like Offset album that came out. So So now we've had all 3 solo Migos albums, and how are we ranking them?
I think it'd actually go with Takeoff first, Offset second, and Quavo last.
Yeah, that's what we've spoken about often, saying like how it's crazy how Quavo had the crown for so long and everyone thought that he was like the top dog.
Takeoff's the dark horse here.
Yeah, absolutely. Takeoff's album was just so fun. Like, the beats were great. His technical ability rapping was great. He got really creative on certain songs like Infatuation.
Yeah.
And even the, what was the single called again?
Last Rocket.
Yeah, that one. That one was so good.
Are you agreeing with his ranking or?
I think so. I think the one that to me was the most enjoyable was Takeoff's, just because Offset's felt like it was still interesting and it was a little bit more gripping in terms of what he had to offer, but still 16 songs and an hour was too much.
There's nothing any of the Migos have to say that merits like 16 to 20 songs. Like, give me a few, give me 10 and maybe that's enough, but I don't know, less is more.
Yeah, that's why Culture 1 was just so much better than 2.
Mm. So good.
It's also like, I feel like Takeoff was more focused, whereas Quavo might have been a bit more all over the place, which might be a thing in terms of how many songs he had.
Yeah, that's true. Like, Takeoff didn't really get all that lyrical, but was anyone really expecting him to? Yeah. And I know Offset, that's what he was trying to get with when he was doing
his time with it too.
Yeah, because Red Room, I don't know if anyone remembers, but Red Room was released in December. Mm. No one noticed. It got taken off Spotify like 2 or 3 days after it dropped. And then I guess, what was that Cardi B scandal that happened?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was trying to avoid the spotlight at that time. That probably did him well. Because now he redeemed himself. They got back together or whatever, and then he drops it. So I guess all that publicity was behind him at that point.
Did it even sell well?
I'm not sure, honestly. I think maybe relatively speaking, it sold well. I don't know.
I send you the stats. Who
Gunna outsold him.
Yeah,
Gunna outsold him.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that.
And Gunna's album to me was like considerably weaker. Like, it, I don't know, I just wasn't impressed by that Gunna album. Just felt like an extension of just everything else that he's done. Nothing special. You know, if you're a Gunna fan, you're gonna like it, but I don't know. What did you guys think?
I think Gunna is cool. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that clip he did on Colors, like the show with the live performances.
Oh, yeah.
So Gunna is really, I thought he was, you know, really an autotune heavy rapper, but he could really have the flow and cadence that sounds like he's using autotune without actually having the technology.
Really? Okay. Well, I mean, he did well on that collab with Lil Baby. Mm. I really enjoyed him on that.
That was I put that as my second album of the year of 2018. It was crazy.
It was really good. I mean, you had Jip Harder. You had obviously the single Drip Too Hard. You had that solo Baby track, Close Friends.
Whew.
Great track. I just think that Gunna works better in small doses, and I don't think the album was pretty long. And that track though with Young Thug still goes off.
Rapper from now on should just take as a piece of advice 10 to 12 songs. That's it. That's all we want from you, and that is it.
What do you guys, how do you guys feel about 20 song albums?
Ridiculous.
It really depends, because you have to, if you're going to do 20 songs on an album, you got to make sure that whole 20, every single song is gripping in its own way. Like, and it doesn't even have to be 20 songs, because look at Kendrick Lamar's Tim Pimple Butterfly. That was an hour 15, an hour 20, and 16 songs, but it was gripping throughout, right? But then you have Scorpion, you have Culture 2, you have Juice WRLD's new album, and it's good for streams. And
I haven't even bothered with Juice WRLD's just because I'm overwhelmed by the amount of tracks that there are.
Well, I think Drake calling his More Life album a playlist is super interesting, because that's what those albums really are at the end of the day. When you're just making them so oversaturated, it becomes less of an album in terms of listening to it cohesively, and more like, all right, let me just pick the tracks I like and add them to my playlist.
Yeah, because even Scorpion, like, yeah, okay, he calls it an album because there's that side A rap side and side B that was the R&B side. But really, you could put that album in shuffle and the quality stays the same. There's nothing tying each track together, you know? Mm. And especially More Life. Like, I think More Life got less flack from like people because he marketed as a playlist. Here's just a bunch of songs that I recorded between Views and Now, and you can have them. And Scorpion was like, oh, I'm taking my time with this. I'm back in my bag. I'm going to release the best album. Pusha T has nothing on me.
I find Drake doing that too, is like calling things that are albums otherwise. It's kind of like him not wanting people to rank those projects in the grand scheme of his albums. It's almost like playing an exhibition game if you're a basketball player.
Yeah, that's true. Because now when you rank Drake's albums, you're going to say, oh, okay, well, you know, Take Care is or Nothing Was the Same was my best. And even remember when...
If you're reading this, It's Too Late isn't considered
one. It's considered a mixtape. Yeah. But realistically, they're pretty much albums through and through. Like, he sold them,
Well, there's no difference in this streaming era, like between an album and a mixtape.
The difference between a mixtape back then was when you can go on datpiff.com, and that was the only place you could get it. Like, if Wiz Khalifa just dropped, I don't know, Taylor Alderdice, and you should go there.
That was amazing.
It was good. It's his best project. Yeah. I'll debate that with anyone.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're selling a project, that's an album.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now everything's on Spotify. Yeah. What are you going to gain from releasing
it? Especially if this album is as long as every other album. Like, I understand if you release a 5-track EP, then it's an EP.
Yeah.
I think from what I understand, it's a way for labels to put less marketing and less budget towards a project if it's technically called a mixtape.
Right, because it's just like, oh, you owe us 5 albums, but you can make a mixtape, right. And we won't market it as such, or we won't market it as an album. We'll promote it less, but you can just release it. And it still goes on Spotify. And like, how many times do we hear Drake say, people on Twitter say, oh, after, if you're reading this, it's too late. Drake's off his record deal. After views, he's done his record.
Yeah.
We even heard this about Scorpion, didn't we? Yeah. I just read that it was the last Cash Money one.
Yeah, literally after every single album, he's said that it's his last thing under Cash Money, so...
Okay, wait, backtrack a few seconds. When I said, like, Offset was, like, number 4 or whatever, of that week? What was that week that we were so surprised about? What was the number 1? Was it Star Was Born? Star Was Born?
It was right after the Oscars, I think.
Okay, yeah, that's why.
Yeah,
but, like, man, I thought they were going to have 1, 2, and 3 consecutively, like, Pump, Offset, and Gunna. Mm. But they had, like, 4, 5, and 7.
Yeah, that's just pop music getting in the way. Yeah. Don't underestimate A Star Was Born. People love that.
Shout out Gaga.
Shout out Shallow. What a track.
What? I really want to see like Amigos featuring Bradley Cooper kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm like half disappointed that one of those solo albums wasn't like Takeoff just singing his ass off on some R&B.
Yeah, honestly, that would have been amazing. Like, let him sing that whole Infatuation track. Let him go back and forth with James Blake on this super emotional track. So coming up next, we're going to play you guys that new Anderson .Paak song.
Yes, Lord.
Coming back soon with a follow-up to Oxnard. So right now, you're going to be hearing King James. Stay tuned.
This cold stairs can never put the fear in me. What we built here is godly. They can't gentrify the heart of kings. Let's just not talk about it. If I make a move, you're coming with me.
What about the love coming with me? What about the labor coming with me? What about the sea is coming with me? The people that you came with coming with me. What about the love?
Took a knee, them crackers took me out the league. Now I'm not much for games, but I play for keeps. And we salute King James for using his change to create some equal opportunities. Cold stairs can never put the fear in me. There's a movement we've been grooving on. You can move or stay your ass asleep. Let's just not talk about it. Everything they tried to hide, we're taking back for yours and mine.
What about the love coming with me? What about the labor coming with me? What about the sea is coming with me? The people that you came with coming with me. What about the love coming with me? What about the labor coming with me? What about the sea coming with me? People that you came with, you're coming with me. What about the love? What about the sea is coming with me? That you came, you're coming with me.
From March 1st to 31st, Canada will celebrate the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, RVF. At that time of the year, get to know your Francophone neighbors. Francophone communities are present in every province and territory. RVF gives us the opportunity to get to know one another through celebration, exhibition, theater, and community activities. Linguistic duality is not only an important Canadian characteristic, it is fundamental and necessary for our continued vivre ensemble, our living together. The very existence of our country relies on this powerful tool, the continued presence of Francophone and Anglophone communities across the entire country. In this year, where we will commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Official Languages Act, let's focus on our desire to pursue and strengthen this very unique relationship between our linguistic communities.
Visit rvf.ca for more information.
Join us Tuesday nights at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights at midnight right here on 1690 AM, CJLO.
CJLO, so cool, we're from the future.
And we're back.
So you just heard, that was King James off Anderson .Paak's new album,
Ventura.
So this is a quick follow-up to his third album, Oxnard, that just dropped, what, like November?
Yep. And yeah, I find it, it's too bad. I think as much as I want to hear new Anderson, it kind of doesn't give enough time for people to let this first album breathe.
Yeah, as much as like I liked Oxnard to a certain degree. Like I thought some songs were really good, but other times it just felt kind of stale. But I think you're right. I think releasing it like so close from Oxnard is just going to have people people are going to completely forget that Oxnard dropped, because out of all the songs on there, I don't really know. I don't revisit that many. I don't know about you.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's the same thing. You look at Aftermath Records that Eminem did with Revival and then following it up with Kamikaze right away. He wanted people to just swipe that one under the rug. I think the thing with Anderson .Paak, though, that people were deceived by is that they didn't realize it was going to be so much of a hip-hop album. Like, it's really a rap album compared to Malibu right before.
Do you think releasing another one so quickly is like the public's reception of it that was like weaker, so they want to throw it under the rug, or that's their personal opinion about their own work after they release it?
Well, even Anderson was on Marc Maron's podcast and kind of talking about how he's already starting to put, like, he won't say it directly, but insinuating that Dre had a lot of control over it and that's why people weren't crazy about it, and saying that like fans didn't want to see him grow and wanted to see him be this like indie sweetheart, and that he's just trying to make something that develops him as an artist.
I compared Oxnard when that first came out to like kind of his version of Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight, because when Birds dropped, they had a lot of people loved it, but a lot of people also thought it was a step back from Rodeo, and I'm one of those people. So
I thought Rodeo was a step back from days before Rodeo.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I still think Rodeo is better than Birds in the Trap.
I think Rodeo is one of those albums where it's like Man on the Moon by Kid Cudi. Like, people might not appreciate it at first, but it's going to influence the whole generation of rap for 5 years to come. And I think we've seen that with Rodeo.
Yeah, that absolutely. Because there was no album quite like it at the time. Like, it was 2015 when it dropped. And it was, what, a year after, days before it dropped? Yeah. And yeah, he had like a bunch of dark features on there. I mean, he had that crazy...
I mean, that's what he first blew up from.
Yeah, but at that point, I think Rodeo was a shift from him making like really niche, dark, croony trap music to more pop accessible, because Antidote was a smash. Yeah. 3500, well, the numbers weren't great, but that was also a banger. Yeah. Like, Oh My Decide, people. Like, that album had a lot of good stuff going on, and Birds in the Trap was even less experimental than that, right? So that's why, and it was more commercially viable. So that's why I'm thinking, that's why I'm comparing Oxnard to Birds a little bit.
Is Astro his strongest piece of work?
It's debatable. I don't think so, but it's debatable. So.
I think so. Even if it's not my favorite, I think it's like more objectively speaking, his strongest body of work on it, like any technical aspect.
Just listening to that whole album in a row is just beautiful. Like, yeah, you don't even know what song starts where, and it just flows so nicely, yeah, with each other.
I remember when I first put on Astroworld, I didn't know the features, right? Because he didn't release, yeah, any of them. And I put it on, and first of all, Stargazing felt like two tracks. Yeah, and I thought Sicko Mode was Carousel. I was really confused. But yeah, it just felt like it was one song that just carried into the next, into the, yeah, next, into the next. So
I mean, even everyone's saying, oh, Sicko Mode's the Bohemian Rhapsody of this generation. Like, I don't know about all that, but
yeah, the Bohemian Rhapsody of this generation. That's a,
well, what, it has two more weeks to be the longest running top 10 ever? Hot 100? Yeah.
Miley.
Yeah, to, mm-hmm, be the longest song on the top 10 consecutively.
Wow.
It has two more weeks. And now it's tied with like five other tracks.
No way.
Yeah.
But, and that's in, when did it drop? Late July, right?
August.
But dropped, okay,
first
August.
Week of August. Because, yeah, it was Oshiaga.
Oh, yeah, Oshiaga, yeah, yeah. So for it to have such a long run is crazy.
Also, did he open up his Oshiaga set with Carousel?
Yeah, he did the first three songs, yeah, in the album. Mm-hmm. And okay, it was but the first time he ever Stargazing? Played Sicko Mode.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But it started with Stargazing?
Right, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Because I remember like Carousel being a very slow song to play like at a huge festival. Yeah. It's kind of an odd choice.
Yeah, I think it was one of those situations where he was still working out how the album sounds live. And so, mm-hmm, we got to see something for better or for worse that was an experiment.
Does he still play Carousel? I don't even think so, because there was a lot of controversy, sure, with Frank Ocean on that. Like,
yeah,
he removed his verse.
Yeah, no, they cleared it up. Yeah. Apparently it was just because, remember when it dropped, he had like
a trans person on one cover and then it was removed.
Yeah, so that's why Frank Ocean wanted his verse pulled out. He was like, well, either put it back, or, and then he came to an agreement. I don't know what the agreement was, but
okay,
such as that. Yeah, so what else do we have?
You guys want to talk about Oshiaga?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, the lineup's not out yet, but I mean, based on lineups you've seen at Coachella and Governor's Ball, I'm pretty sure we can make a fair estimate.
They're talking, they said, check out. Stay tuned with us for the first day of spring. So it either means they're going to drop some app and slowly release the lineup, or release the whole thing tomorrow.
Is tomorrow the first day of spring?
Yes, sir.
I thought it was the 21st.
I don't know.
Either way, this week. So who do you think's headlining? And not necessarily, you don't have to just talk about like hip hop. Yeah. Who you think could be a good headliner based on what we've seen?
I think a safe guess would be Tame Impala. It's been a while since they've been in the city.
Have they released a track? An album this year?
No, but they're on SNL next week.
Yeah.
And that is usually an indicator of new music.
Plus, okay, they're playing Coachella, and they have a whole bunch of other festival dates. It just seems like a very safe guess in terms of like when the last time they were in Montreal and their touring schedule.
Hmm. And because usually they typically go with like three different types of headliners. You'll have one hip-hop, one like pop, darling, everyone's going to go crazy for, and one kind of, I guess, alternative rock or some...
Okay, so who's the hip-hop headliner? By our guesses.
I mean, Oshiaga is also very good at throwing wild cards in the mix. Like, Travis last year wasn't doing all that many festivals in comparison to the rest of the stereotypical festival lineups. I think it could be really anyway. Like, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Ariana Grande is a headliner.
I wouldn't be surprised either. But you know who I'm putting my money on?
That's actually a very good guess.
Yeah, she really, her album was great, by the way.
Yeah.
you're
I like Sweetener better than Thank You Next. I find Thank You Next was... like half of the songs were amazing and half of them were super forgettable.
Oh, okay. That's a fair criticism. For me, I think it just edges out Sweetener a little bit just because of the more like in your face kind of appeal to it.
Yeah.
But Sweetener was really refined. But so I wouldn't be surprised if Ariana takes a headliner. But
who else were you going to say?
I was going to say Childish Gambino.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing with that is that those are all great guesses, but to have Tame Impala, Ariana, and Childish would mean it's the exact same headliners as Coachella, which that's doesn't true. Seem.
Oh, is that the three headliners?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Also, why is everyone on Childish right now? Like, come on. He's been releasing great stuff, and he hasn't even released an album this year.
He barely even toured. He toured for Awaken My Love in 2017.
Exactly.
I don't know, 2018.
Yeah.
And Awaken My Love came out at the tail end of 2016.
But what, did it really take This Is America for everyone to discover this guy?
I think Atlanta definitely helped also, the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Building himself as more than just a musician.
But see, if I saw him in concert, I don't even want him playing that much Awaken My Love. Like, hey, I love his rap stuff a lot more.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, that concert
because
was
of the internet.
Else.
Oh, yeah. When did you see him?
I saw him in September. I literally went to Toronto to see
him. Oh,
that.
Nice.
And his performances of the songs were really great. It would have probably been cooler to see him. I was really high up, like nosebleeds, but it would have been cool to see him because the whole set design was sick. He had a whole live band. Like, it was good. I mean, nothing will beat his performance, like his live performance of Because of the Internet. I don't know if you were at that tour, the Deep Web tour. That was crazy. But I it took This Is America for him to really blow up. And Redbone too, to a certain extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, with being in Get Out. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting also is that, so he's going to play older Simba in the next Lion King movie.
Right.
The kid who sings on the end of Terrified is the kid playing young Simba.
Yeah, I read about that too. And he had a great vocal performance on that.
They did something in the Grammys together.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I just hope that Gambino's next album brings back rapping because...
Oh, yeah, please.
I mean, Awaken My Love had some rapping in it, but like it doesn't...
But now he has the spotlight, and if he chooses to do rap again, then he can expose like his skills.
I don't know. Look...
That's what I found was weird about This Is America. It was like this huge song hit number one, and then he kind of didn't know what to do with all this...
Exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like the song fell out, like the song also fell out of number one right away. Because it only got to, because YouTube streams count towards streams, right? And I could argue if he releases that song just on its own, it doesn't reach number one. And without the music video, I don't think it wins Song of the Year. I don't think it wins.
Well, we spoke about that last time that I was here. Like that did wait that one
song of the year, record of the year.
It could be the first song and record of the year winner to never appear on an album. Mm-hmm. Just because that'd be super interesting to see.
I don't know if it was his A&R team, not A&R, but his promo team that came out and said This Is America is not going to be on his next album, and that the lead single for his next album was the Summertime Magic and Feels Like Summer, and those were essentially pop R&B songs. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to expect, because This Is America will definitely help him in terms of sales, because if he puts that on there, it's gonna definitely help it. But I want to hear him rapping. And when I went to see him, he played, I think, one or two unreleased songs. And one of them, he was going at it over like this. I don't know if you remember like the song Earth from Because the Internet with Azealia Banks.
If you played it, for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, it's kind of like his techno-y influenced song, and he's rapping on it. It sounds good, but I just want to see it. I just want to hear it come out. And that song was also used on a Pixel, like a Google Pixel ad on Instagram that lasted, 30 seconds? So you got that brief tease of a song, but nothing's coming. So I just want to know, when is it coming? Because it's been a while now.
Any other predictions off the top of your heads? I think Lil Baby and Gunna, one of them is going to be there for sure.
Mm. Maybe Lil Baby. Or
Gunna.
Or Da Baby.
I feel like Flatbush Zombies are one of those like type of underachiever groups will be there.
Hopefully Earth Gang.
I would love that'd be cool.
I would love to see Earth
Gang. I mean, they were just here, though.
But they'd come back.
Yeah, for sure.
They'd be back.
G-I-D. Young Thug or J. Cole actually would be pretty dope, too.
I think Vince Staples will be, because they just had a show in February, and it seems like it would make sense if they announce him again
quickly. It would make sense for him to come back. He wouldn't say no to another thing like that, and the crowd in Montreal was really
sad. But he was also here for Jay-Z last year, too, right? He's been here. Vince Staples? What didn't he?
That was Vic.
Oh, that was Vic Manza.
I always mess them up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Vic Mensa is going to show up there. Nah. Maybe Chance, if he releases, because he's planning on releasing something in June. So I think it could be a good, and he could headline. He's big enough of a name to be a headline on his own. So I wouldn't rule out Chance headlining either, or unless they pull something out of their ass. And
the one thing they did say on social media when they announced the lineup is get ready for the homecoming Oshiaga or something along those lines.
Does that imply that Montreal bands are gonna, what do you mean by that?
I'm not sure. So I'm either thinking, Arcade Fire, or that I think they're moving back to the original area of Oceaga, which might be what homecoming.
That might make more sense. Well, in any case, I don't
Arcade Fire would be justifiable in terms of like what we were saying about a wild card, though.
But have they released anything recently?
Not since Everything Now.
No, but it'd make sense that they do a big Montreal rollout and give back to their hometown that.
True.
Always do some random stuff. Just get
the they did a song in the Dumbo soundtrack, but I don't know if that counts.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You think they're gonna throw in any Montreal? Well, they always do. But what the Montreal boys? You think they're gonna throw in there? Rap wise or hip hop wise?
That's a good question. I think they just always have rappers on standby, in case someone cancels. Like I know when Rhymes played last year, it was because someone had canceled. Like De La Soul didn't make their flight or something like that. So they always have rappers around. I know Huss was there also and didn't get a chance to perform.
See, that'd be dope to see him perform.
I think he's merited a spot at Oshiaga at this point. Like his UAP was really rough. It was good. I think he could definitely be at Planet Giza as well. I think they could be an interesting. I think they have performed in the past, but I don't know if they've just been like DJ sets versus like performing actual songs. But
I don't know how many like lab shows they've done.
I don't know how many they've done either. But I think now, given the fact that they have an album and an EP under their belt, could probably make sense to see them on there. What else could we see? Nav.
I mean, he played last year. Yeah, I think anyone who's there last year, you kind of have to cancel out. Like, I'd love to see James Blake back, but I think it's too soon.
Yeah, I missed James Blake last year. He was performing at the same time as someone.
Travis, which, I mean, technically he performed and then ended his show. Yeah, and then Travis was not.
I know. that sucked. I should have dipped and gone to see James Blake and then gone back.
Were you guys at, no, you guys didn't go to Astroworld?
No.
2 weeks ago or whatever?
I don't know. I saw him at Oceaga. I figured that's more than enough.
Yeah.
Got pyro thrown in my face. And I don't know. For some reason, when bass gets too loud in songs, like my nose gets tingly. So I have to hold my nose while I'm watching the show like a moron.
That's definitely an interesting way to watch concerts. Just there, like, oh yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so wait, who was the headliners last year? It was Travis? I'm blanking out.
Yeah,
it was Travis. Arctic Monkeys and Florence.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see either of the last two because the same time as Arctic Monkeys, there's
like Brockhampton, Tyler the Creator.
And I'm not missing either of those because I've seen Brockhampton twice now. One of the craziest live shows I've been
to.
I don't even listen to them and they were awesome. Like, I went to that show and it was
awesome. Dude, when they came with energy, that Boogie, was crazy. When Boogie comes on, the crowd is just losing it.
And they're really like a boy band also. The way they coordinate in terms of outfits and choreography to some extent. It's not necessarily dancing, but the way they move around the stage is really like an NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. But hardest working boy band in the world.
Yes, sir.
And Florence was at the same time as Post?
No.
As Brockhampton.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Even Tyler.
Live. Oh no, that Saturday was killer, man. It was Khalid and then Post and then Arctic, wasn't it?
It was Pack and then Arctic.
Okay.
And then Post was the next day before Florence.
I would pay to go see a Pack concert live because I felt like the Oceaga set, like, there were too many people there that probably didn't appreciate or know Anderson .Paak as well as like people would go to, like people who would go to his concert would know, you know?
Well, he just announced this whole crazy tour with Thundercats on it, Mac DeMarco, Earl Sweatshirt, I think No Name, whole bunch of people. It's a big old family tour, but it's not coming to Montreal.
Of course not.
we were talking about this before. Gucci Mane released that Canadian tour and left Montreal out of it.
But how? How do you leave Toronto out?
Well, he had a good... Well, your theory was what? The capacity of venues?
Yeah, I think it's that type of thing where both cities have these like 3,000 person venues and then it jumps straight to an arena. And... although there might be some in-betweens, it's all places owned by like
Evenko
who are monopolizing over it. So if you're like an independent promoter, you basically have to work with them or not work at all. And so for Gucci Mane to come, I think it would maybe have to be in a place like Place Belle, which would require them working with someone who might be taking too much of a cut or whatever the discrepancy is that the promoter has.
Okay.
These same people tried to bring the game to Montreal. That didn't work too well, so it'll be interesting to see how Gucci's papers get.
Oh my god, okay. It's gonna be interesting. Is Gucci technically allowed in Canada?
I know he had that verse in the Drake on both that might call Drake in for a favor.
Yeah, pull some strings, so let me check my calendar. Festivals. There was also Metro, which is gonna be the first of its edition.
Yeah, Cardi B, Future headlining Snoop. That. Yeah, did the lineup like get your eye in terms of the who's on it? Like, is there anyone you really want to see on there?
Well, it's interesting to see the way they're promoting as like Montreal's Rolling Loud equivalent.
Actually say that?
Yeah, when they were promoting it at first, which is like
Biggest urban festival, right? That's what they said, or something.
It's like saying like McGill's the Harvard of Canada. Like nothing that's a something of anything is actually that.
That's fair.
And also, Rolling Loud is like the most amazing hip hop festival.
Rolling Loud has also said since then we'll bring an actual festival to Canada and like kind of dismissed it without directly dissing them.
What, Rolling Loud heard of Metro?
Yeah, they posted like some random tweet like a week after, like, we'll make a Rolling Loud Canada happen.
Oh,
don't worry,
nice.
Guys.
I would absolutely love to see that.
I would.
In terms of that lineup, I think like Cardi will be interesting since she hasn't really been here since she did like a club appearance once when kind of she had her first mixtape, but she hasn't really put on a show in Montreal yet, so it'll be interesting to see.
Has she in Canada in general?
I think she did once in Toronto. I know she was going to do a show last year in May, but then she got pregnant and kind of got canceled.
That happens.
Hey, man.
I'm definitely down to see Cardi perform live because, I haven't seen her before. She always has energy, so it'd be interesting.
I think honestly, Tyga will be cool. He just had such an awesome comeback.
Yeah.
Hate it or love it.
It's true. What was it? Taste? That was that was one of the songs of last summer.
Absolutely.
Unavoidable.
Taste, Lick, and Girls Have Fun or whatever all sound like the exact same song, but they're all great.
They all slap. And in the summer, that's what you want, right?
Yeah.
What are we looking forward to in the summer? Like, do we know who's dropping stuff? I know Schoolboy is coming soon.
Right.
When is that Khalid album coming? Because I cannot wait for
that. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I hope it's better than Sun City. But I like the new single.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I like the second single.
I don't think anything could top American Teen. Like, that was probably my favorite album of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
I loved it. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think it's like... it's an interesting look at what the title is, An American Teenager. It's like this very honest album about that experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very very accessible too. Like it's got some R&B flavoring in it, but at the very core, it's pretty much a pop album. But
it's kind of like how Lorde's Melodrama was, I think, the same thing in terms of theme, and it was like an alternative album, but also like inherently a pop album.
But like, shout out to him, because I think him and Stony were the only two albums that were released in 2017 that were still the highest streamed top
Stony's
10 in
2016. No,
okay, even better then, because they were still in the top 10 most streamed of 2018. And like Khalid, that was his first project that he released. And
they have longevity,
yeah,
solely because they make accessible music. Like I'm not gonna, you can't argue the fact that like Post Malone makes deep intellectual, deep thinking music. No, but he makes relatable
that everyone music. Wants to listen
to. And Rockstar, and he can make bangers too, like we saw in Rockstar. Although WoW was pretty underwhelming.
I was in the States and heard that to death on the radio. I think it kind of just one of those things where like they, you hear it so much that you're like, you have Stockholm syndrome. Like, maybe this is good.
Yeah.
It's also like 2 minutes long and it's nothing special at all.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's still doing well on like the playlist charts. Like, it's still
it just got into the top 10 or something, this week.
I don't know. I always see Spotify trying to shove it down my throat. Anyway,
so what else is coming out?
I'm honestly curious to hear if Justin Bieber is going to drop something.
Yeah, his last album, what was it, Promise or something?
Yeah,
yeah, it wasn't horrible. Like, he had a Travis feature on it that was pretty enjoyable.
I just feel as like, I don't know how old we were, like 12, 13 when he dropped. At first, when he came onto the scene, like, I think we were just like programmed to hate him because
I don't mind him.
That's what girls paid attention to or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, he's like, there's definitely some great songs on that album.
Even that Journals project, like, he had some pretty. Yeah, he had that Chance collab on there that was pretty solid. So yeah, I'd be curious to see.
What are you talking about? On Chance's album?
No. I was talking
That one's amazing.
Juke Jam. I was talking about like a Bieber song featuring Chance. Okay. But yeah, even Juke Jam. Great.
And
Marie, I'm Drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Marie, I'm Drunk.
Birds in the Trap. Yeah.
One of the best. Amazing verse on that.
There was also another one. He wasn't on Biebs in the Trap.
No, he wasn't on Biebs in the Trap. It would have been sick if he was on a remix.
He could have done
Confident. That's the one with Chance and Bieber. That's on the.
Yeah. Exactly. And even had, he had a song. Didn't he have a song with Nas on?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest.
Super random. There's also like a Busta Rhymes song on the Christmas album.
Yeah,
like Little Drummer Boy.
Busta Rhymes, weird. He collabed with the Jonas Brothers too back in way.
Well, Bus is about to drop something and he's been working with Dr. Dre on it, and it's like his first real album after 10 years. So
finally.
I've been hearing like everyone who's tweeting about it, from Just Blaze to other artists, just saying like they've cried on how amazing it is, and it's like Busta's tour de force. You guys think Busta Rhymes is like a classic album?
I don't know enough.
I know Busta Rhymes on features and like songs I've heard like here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I haven't delved into his discography enough to really know.
Yeah, I mean, that might answer my question. Yeah.
So pretty much, because I honestly, if you tell me to name you one Busta Rhymes album, I can't. I can tell you that I listened to a mixtape of his once that had like a red cover and he had some good features on it.
Oh, was it the Dragon?
Yeah. That's the only Busta Rhymes full project that I listened to.
That's like the one with Chance? Yeah.
And even then, I don't think people really messed with it that much.
It was like on Christmas Day. It was like the end of that Daft Piff era when people were starting to put their stuff on streaming. So I think the tail end of that, putting it out for free, like all those mixtapes got swept under the rug.
Speaking of which, MySpace just announced that like they lost every MP3 uploaded in the last like 15 years or whatever.
Oh, that's, no. That's, I feel actually, like that's not a bad thing at the end of the day. Like,
yeah, but you think about how many people probably like, they don't have the same computers as back then. Yeah. They lost all their USBs. Uh-huh. Like, that's the only work that they have, and that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks.
I feel like there is a lot of cringeworthy music in that time, though.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Take the good with the bad.
But like, I saw that even Arctic Monkeys like started on there and stuff. Like, there's big names that became something because of MySpace.
But why, did they just like lose it?
Someone's theory was also that they maybe did it on purpose. Like, basically, we're not going to invest millions of dollars to like save your MP3s. because basically no one goes on, like they don't have that revenue anymore.
That's true.
So it's better to just say,
flush them out.
Get that bad PR stunt and like mess it all up. Then
they were changing their site structure or something or navigating it somewhere else, and it was a mix up there.
Okay. Either way, it's still tragic.
I think they go back to anticipated albums. Kanye, like, I think everyone's interested to see
is
what
Yandy
he's
even going to come out, or is he going to change his mind 3-4 times before it?
I mean, he's been working. He worked with Timbaland on it. He worked with. I'm hearing he might even have like a couple Montreal producers on it.
No way.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, he had Lunas on Yeezus. So.
Yeah,
that'd be dope.
All right, we've made it through a whole 3 songs today.
Yeah, so very talk heavy episode.
Let's throw on another one.
So coming up next, we're going to play some Dave. He just released a new album, Psychodrama. So yeah, here it is.
If you send me the location, then I'll be right there. Then make her come check you, my baby. No time, no. And my dog is on probation. Another 5 years. We bring girls to his location. No time, no. Send me the location. This year about vacations. Flight catching, train taking. Soon as my nigga off probation. Your boyfriend's on a waiting thing, looking for one wish on a Ray J thing. I prayed that girl, outrageous thing, but she can't see cause I got shades and thing. Bare girls wanna throw shade and thing, no shade, what shade is your foundation in? Darkest grey, the shade I'm in, 49 more if your babes want sin. I had me a famous thing, goals and things, gains and things. My house party, a babe station, girls wanna chase, it's a status thing. Send me the location, then I'll be right there. I make her come check you, my baby. No time, no. And my dog is on probation. Another 5 years. We bring girls to his location. No time, no. Look, playboy, I don't need a Carti. I'm captain, I lead the army. Bad ratio, I leave the party. Free Somalis, creeping on me. Your ex wavy, we tsunami. Girl from India, sweetest nani. Head so good, now I speak Gujarati. You hardly pardon me, I'm laughing again. I assisted, man, passed my friend. Look, money like the alphabet. If you wanna see peace, gotta pass on the ends. Came a long way from a park in a Benz to an 18 plate, man's park in a Benz. Far from the rest, but I'm far from my best. Life is a lesson, I'm passing a test. Yes, everything blessed. I don't want drama and I don't want stress. My girl got finesse, Caribbean flex. Body and chest, take body and chest. Thank God more, I grew up with less. Just to the right, raps to the left. Arch in the middle, got seed to the death. Batch full of dogs with the 16s vets. If you send me the location, then I'll be right there. So make her come check you, my baby. No time, no. And my dog is on probation. Another 5 years. We bring girls to his location. Nigga, I was down, but I made it to the top right now. And I could pull a couple grand out my pocket right now. Yeah, I'm so fly, yeah, I'm flying in the rocket right now. And all the games you play never stop right now. I pull up on the block, I see everybody watching. Cause it's diamonds on my chain, and it's diamonds on my watch. Money moves, off white shoes, came straight from Virgil Abloh. I've been down, I've been low, had my mattress on the floor. Now me have enough cat building up, can I ring my cellula? Me have a big fat split bunning up, and I the big black Benz pulling up. Please tell everybody to start pulling up. Enough champagne from the bar coming up. Party hard, make I live my life. Nigga, I was down, but I'm headed to the top right now. And I could pull a couple grand on my pocket right now. Yeah, I'm so fly, yeah, I'm flying in a rocket right now. And all the games you play never stop right now. If you send me the location, then I'll be right there. To make her come check you, my baby. No time, no. And my dog is on probation. Another 5 years. We bring girls to his location. No time, no.
Les productions Nuit d'Afrique présentent la 13e édition des Cili d'Or de la musique du monde. Les Cili d'Or, unique distinction musicale qui souligne les talents des artistes de la musique du monde, vous invite à découvrir 36 groupes de musique du monde. Dans le cadre de ces concerts vitrines gratuits, venez voter pour vos artistes sculpteurs tous les mardis et mercredis, jusqu'à 18 avril au Club Dalatou. Les Cili d'Or, le prix du public qui fait grandir le monde. Pour plus d'informations, www.cilidor.com.
Are you tired of being talked down to by your media? Treated like an imbecile or worse, an American consumer? Are you looking to add some intrigue and excitement to your Monday mornings? Then tune in to New Media and Politics 2.0 from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, Carl Knox. I have 2 hours to debunk corporate lies and set the world right. Also, jazz.
Yes, positif. Mama dit dans la vie, sois pas négatif. Sois positif. Yeah, j'suis positif. Mon papa m'a dit d'envie, sois pas trop difficile. J'aime mon meilleur, j'ouvre les portes comme un serrurier. Workman les jours fériés, wouh, wouh. J'veux pas avoir de remords, même c'est pour ça que j'travaille fort. Pas quoi de bien avant maman, wouh, wouh. On garde le smile, pas juste pour la night, yeah. Faut mettre les efforts, yeah. J'm'échappe au Goliath, yeah. Y'a juste une profession, yeah. J'essaie d'être comme personne, yeah. C'est pour ça que j'ai percé, yeah. Soupçon de percé, yeah. Plus une forme dans le cabanon, hey. First place au marathon. Pendant que tu fais zéro by round. Moi j'ai work hard, j'suis resté strong. Yeah, on se rafraîchit le brain. Seul du bon pied en matin. Rien à foutre des chiales. J'ai le talent, puis j'ai chance. Yeah, j'suis positif. Yeah, j'suis positif. Mama dit dans la vie, sois pas négatif. So j'suis positif. Yeah, j'suis positif. Mon papa m'a dit d'envie, sois pas trop difficile. J'aime mon meilleur, yeah. J'ouvre les portes comme un serrurier. Workman, les jours fériés. Wouh, wouh. J'veux pas avoir de remords. Même c'est pour ça que j'travaille fort. Pas quoi de bien avant maman. Wouh, wouh. J'vois que c'est l'écho pour work le rap. Maintenant j'ai trouvé le boulot de rêve. Mes profs pensaient que j'étais à des rêves. Mais non, la zik est pas pour faire. C'est bien triste, la vie c'est pas comme un jeu. Des fois t'as pas toujours ce que tu veux. Fais-toi pour un film juste pour aller mieux. T'es pas Alex, on est bien heureux. Il faut work hard pour le pain. Faut toujours refaire le plein. Pour pouvoir racheter du temps. Pour recommencer demain. Oh ben, oh ben. Yeah, j'suis positif. Yeah, j'suis positif. Mama dit dans la vie, sois pas négatif. So j'suis positif. Yeah, j'suis positif. Mon papa m'a dit dans vie, sois pas trop difficile. J'aime mon meilleur, yeah. J'ouvre les portes comme un serrurier. Work même les jours fériés. Wouh, wouh. J'veux pas avoir de remords. Même c'est pour ça que j'travaille fort. Pas quoi de bien avant maman. Wouh, wouh.
Motivation, yeah.
So you just heard Positif by Fuki and Deep End by River Tiber?
Tiber, as I just found out today.
Yep.
So that pretty much marks the end of this show. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to cover everything.
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah, this is but true. Stay tuned because every Tuesday, Jacob and I are back here talking about all the new hip-hop. You're obviously welcome to come back whenever
you
want.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Yeah, I appreciate
thanks for coming. It's made one of our most talk-heavy episodes. And
we got through about 12 minutes of music and a good 40 minutes of talk. So.
That sounds like a good day to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that note, as we close up, one last song for you guys coming up.
Let's do the Tyler Yahweh.
All right, so
I'm feeling that.
Go for it. Put him on.
Hi Right Now by Tyler Yahweh. Thank you to Mr. Wavy for coming in the studio.
Appreciate
See y'all. You guys next week.
Take it easy.
Peace.
So high right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down. Cause this feels better to me than anybody reality. I'm floating in the air like I'm weightless, flying on a cocaine spaceship. And I'm so high right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down. I don't know what I tell. All I know that I'm hurt. 24 hours got me seeing blue dragons. Molly and the Henny got me speaking different language. Thinking about the world, now my mind go tragic. Thinking about the world, now my mind go tragic. Turn it up so high right now. I don't think that I'll ever come down. Cause this feels better to me than anybody reality. I'm floating in on a cocaine spaceship. And I'm so high right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down. I don't know where I am. My time's frozen and I can't comprehend. Can you stop? Quit fronting on me. I'ma stretch it back like a limousine. Everybody love me, tryna surf my wave. On designer drugs, can't feel my face. I'm so high right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down. Cause this feels better to me than anybody reality. I'm floating in the air like I'm weightless, flying on a cocaine spaceship. And I'm so high right now, I don't think that I'll ever come down.
Bye.